Vashanti International.
Okay, this is Sam like the Ghost, and we're live on our Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook channels with Asha T from Asha T International. Or I messed up. but so this is our first interview, and we do want to mention one of our sponsors is News App, where they take video podcasts like this and convert it to audio. So this podcast will be on Newsly on Android and the Apple Store. Use coupon code GHOST and you get 1 month free premium subscription, so you can stop scrolling and start listening, get news alerts, podcast alerts, and listen to your favorite podcast on Newsly. So thank you for being on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me to be here. I'm so grateful.
So I was reviewing your statements here, and one of your first questions that you were ready to answer is about a question about being an empath a narcissist, or how you were talking about how an empath is a narcissist. Maybe you want to address that question.
Yeah, thank you. Just straight into it. I love it. Sure. The whole premise and the understanding behind that statement and the name of the book that I'm coming out with is actually to understand how to heal on a very cellular level, which means that when we look at relating dynamics, and this is not to say that there aren't terrible people out there and that awful things haven't happened to people. But when we start to understand that we're all on the walk back to our, you know, divine sovereign beings, as we clear shadow and we begin integrating, you know, the different aspects of ourself, we learn that we are all just two things, love and truth, which are masculine and feminine and feminine and masculine energies. So love being feminine and truth being masculine. And that's the receiving in the feminine and the action taking in the masculine. So what happens as we begin growing up and when we're born here, we're conditioned. And so the whole journey of life is to decondition and integrate our shadowy portions of ourself. So when we say the empath is the narcissist, it's simply drawing the attention to know that a person, no matter how, let's say, dark or evil they are, they can't see their behavior because it's laying in the shadow and they haven't incorporated it. And in my practice, it's energy work and subconscious work that we do to bring forward the truth.
That's a really profound thing, because I'm a musician and I'm a writer and a poet, and I like to go inside to I think all writers, we try to go inside to understand, and we try to understand the light and dark, the kind of Gemini it allows us to be able to create, to be creators. You have to be kind of open with yourself and honest with yourself. You start doing a lot of analysis. So that was very interesting to me. You talk about the male and the female. Do you ever feel that that's can be in the same person, that you have feminine side and male part, sides of us, of any individual, whether they're male or female?
Yeah, what a beautiful question. And I'm so excited to read your poetry. Hopefully you can send me some. I'd love to read that if ever you're open to share. But so when you're asking that question about feminine and masculine aspects, yes, the answer is that we have both. And the easiest way to translate that to sort of the mainstream public, for me, I'm finding, is the left and the right hemisphere of the brain. So the left hemisphere is very analytical. This is where we make our decisions. This is where we need structure, focus, drive. And then we have the right portion, which is our emotional side of the brain. And that's where we have our love and our energy in motion, our emotional responses, our anxiety can live here when we feel like we're out of control. So that's what happens when we talk about masculine and feminine energy. And the whole life experience, and this is hopefully a little will resonate with a lot of your listeners and maybe yourself. You may have had a very severe heartbreak in your life, in your journey. And when that happens, we don't trust fully the opposite sex. So let's use an example. If you had a feminine being in your life and she just left you and broke your heart and you're like, oh my God, that feeling, right? So the idea, yeah, it's totally relatable. And I had that multiple times. And instead of feeling sad or not figuring it out, I realized a few things. One, a lot of men don't have this support. And so I work with a lot of men because most men, they just stuff it in, or they could turn to drugs or alcohol. And actually, it's a reason why a lot of men end up in jail and also in homeless. And then for females, we end up getting maybe we block our hearts, and then it causes a lot of anxiety and desire to control, and a lot of feminism and angry women. And that results in maybe a bit of emasculation of men. So there's a lot of moving parts, but yes, it's very real. And it's not lame to move through your emotions. The insight is always on the other side. As someone who's a creative, I'm sure you understand that. As an entrepreneur, you understand that. It's a journey. So, yeah.
A lot of what I've done, I don't know, people understand the whole idea of PEG, is like what we started as a band. Because I introduced the female part of myself. I called her Josephine Electric. And I used a bunch of poetry I had written. And I'm a synthesis, so I found a way to really pitch my voice to a soprano. And I had created this character that was really me, a female version of myself, and a bunch of poetry and short stories I wrote. And I said, well, how could I ever make her actually come to life? And as a synthesis, I found a tool that actually pitched my voice. And allowed me to actually be her as like an actor, but I put her as the lead singer of my band. So the first three Fam Electric Ghost albums, Josephine Electric is in every song. And all the songs are coming from the female perspective of my soul. And I was very much inspired by what Bowie did with when he created Ziggy Stardust, and Prince got in touch with himself with a character he called Camille.
Yes.
I was very much and then very interested in what Freddie Mercury used to channel, and and even Michael Jackson. So I used to see like that effeminate during the new wave era. There was a lot of artists like Duran Duran, all these new wave bands were willing to kind of go and cross into this kind of gender bending idea.
Yes.
And in the music, we also pitch to a falsetto because it cuts through. And so there's famous falsettos from Temptations, all these different bands, you know, Axl Rose, all Rush. There's a lot of men doing falsettos. And it's like in music, it's more acceptable for men to get in touch with that side. As a creative, we're allowed to do it more than other places. And so we can kind of get away without having a big lashback from some parts of society. But yeah, I do understand what you're talking about.
I mean, you really hit the nail on the head. I was loving everything you were sharing, because I was actually going to say, I don't know if you're into Prince or Michael Jackson, but like those men had such a vibrating truth frequency. So because they had to go so, I'm covered in chills. We are on the right track. They had such a pulsating truth about digging in and following their soul's purpose. And when you go deep inside to follow your soul, and this is why this work that I do is amazing for entrepreneurs, because I move them faster through the limiting beliefs, all that fear that comes up, the stuff that keeps us stuck. And with energetics, which is what I do in my processes, I move people faster so they can get into enjoy life now. And so when you're talking about these men that you're describing, the reason there was no backlash at those times and why there isn't that much of a backlash to rock stars now is because when alpha men do that, they move through the heart, the frequency is really, really high. What we're experiencing now in the general public the transgender agenda, and also other things that are happening where men are being emasculated, and then they're maybe using a bit of like the feminine embodiment in that space. So it's not as potent. So I hope that makes sense. Yeah. It's like almost like the men, they have to, it's just like me in my work. I'm very, very confident in my truth frequency. It's quite scary to people, but other people are really magnetized to it. And so it's really interesting what energetics do. And so with my work, I'm seeing a lot of people, women that are very controlling and anxious, and the result is men that may be falling into less action taking. And I'm here to help people not feel like that, so we can take some action and have some fun.
Good. I think it's good to actually handle that, because it's strange. Well, not strange, but I was very much inspired by the 70s and the 80s. And I'm a child of the 70s. I'm 55, and I grew up, watching all this music. And I'm a musician, but I also understand that left and right, because I'm a technician. I'm a software designer, and I'm an artist. And I found my feminine side, which is not usually found in the type of person that, you know, my day job is very logical. It's kind of like Spock logical. You know, it's like, that level. And to be able to go creative and create something like Josephine, I found that I can be, people called me like a Renaissance type of guy, because I can go flipping between those two kind of rigid mindsets that a lot of people get stuck in that dogma and they can't get out of it. And I've been very much into like expansion. My whole thing is expansive sound, expansive ideas. I have a podcast where I'm not just talking to men. I'm not just talking to musicians. I talk to like anybody. And so the idea that I don't want to be in a lane, I want to be able to do whatever I want to do.
So good. And like, you know, I think it's so funny because one of my classes is called Expansion. I'm like all about what everything that you're just sharing there. It's people do, they get stuck in boxes. So even my work, I work with feminine women, making women more relaxed and feminine, which actually activates the king inside of a man, like a muse, external muse. And he wants to be better because he's being met with love. And then internally, she feels confident, so she doesn't feel like she needs to control everything. And then simultaneously, I also work with men who are moving through like severe heartbreak, or they're high achievers and they desire more. And it's amazing because I get to see both sides of the coin, and I'm so much the same as you. Like, the work is energy. So why not share it and exchange it where we can with everybody that we can? And it's just awesome. I just love it so much. So I have like two personalities. It's like this sort of like dominatrix badass kind of feminine CEO, and then sort of this soft musy, really sort of a submissive personality that I use with with partners, or as well with male clients.
Well, that's why I got very interested in the dynamic of when I get into music as more of an artist, just a player. And then I said, how am I ever going to present to people? And I didn't sing. And then I said, I've got to get out of my shell. I got to be willing to put myself out there and actually start singing. So as a musician, I've been playing since I was 17. It's not until 2016 that I started singing. And when I started singing, I sang with Josephine Electric's voice. And so it was a big change in my life, from going from being just a keyboard player in bands to actually, presenting myself like Josephine Electric, and the idea of that. And I used a phantom mask, because what I did is I decided I would be a phantom because the ghost could be male or female, and I wouldn't have to present as a female. I could as a ghost, as a phantom. The idea of phantom. And it got me where I am now, where I'm doing the podcast and I have my music and I'm a producer. And it just, what I found is I've been able to connect to a lot of different creators. A lot of female singer-songwriters like to talk to me, because I guess I can approach them in a way that a lot of men don't. And it's just interesting that I've been able to fit into the industry and actually push a lot of female singer-songwriter emerging artists, because they like the fact that I was willing to go where I go. And so it made them make it easier to talk to them.
I love this. Very cool. Very, very cool. And I love the phantom, like sort of ghost thing, simply because it is like an inner part of you. It is. And so it's been really manipulated in the media, and also just in general, that it's lame, or it's weak, or, and it's just not, it's just an energy. And it simply means that you're able to hold empathy for all of the human race and move as the conscious warrior, the man who has a very high alpha frequency that demands respect. And it's usually the man that's thoughtful and slow and in his body and kind. And also when he takes action, it's very, very poignant and it makes a big impact. So really beautiful. I love that you shared that.
So the push and pull dynamic,
yes,
I guess it relates to a lot of different things. It can relate to money, love, and passion, and all kinds of things, and addiction. I've been, you know, addicted to certain things. Like I'm addicted to like having to write music all the time, or having to like be like, I got to the point where my studio is in my bedroom.
Yes, so like, I
have to have my instrument next to me. I read the story, like Hendrix used to sleep with his guitar. Mm-hmm. Not that because he was having some kind of relationship with the guitar, but he wanted it to be that close because if he had an idea.
Yeah.
And people say, well, isn't that being too much? Isn't that going too far? Shouldn't you give yourself space? It's like, you know, sometimes if you're a creator, you want the means of creation like with you because you have no idea when it's going to happen.
Of course. Purpose. It's so what happens in life is we are given most things in a shadow aspect. So, for example, I've been sober for about 2 years. There was a couple of times I drank in that 2 year span, but I was addicted to this my work that was sucking my soul and making me very anxious. And then on the weekends, I'd have a really, really volatile relationship with alcohol where I'd drink and smoke until like I passed out, right? Then
like
now
binge,
that
like
I found
a binge type of thing, like a binge.
Yeah,
type
like,
of behavior?
Yeah, like and that's actually a real push pull in itself as well, because you're looping yourself in a behavior that's going to result in a shame, what I refer to in my practice as a shame loop. So you do the thing feeling like you deserve the thing, and then you feel bad for the thing that you did, and you pull yourself into shame. It's essentially love bombing yourself, like you're love bombing yourself. And so what happens in the world, in everyone's journey, is we may struggle with these behaviors and these patterns and these addictions. And I say that in parentheses for those listening on the audio. We receive it in a shadow aspect. So that might be like a really intense shopping addiction, a gambling addiction, something that's a low vibrational habit. And then when we actually find our soul purpose, we experience that addiction again in parentheses, I mean, quotations, we experience the addiction again, but we already think that that's bad because we've had an addiction in the past and we're told like, you're not supposed to be a workaholic. But no, if it feeds your soul, change the mindset. Simply tell yourself that you're doing things that are here because it's driven in purpose and it's feeding your soul. It's not sucking it. So a good example, I have a friend, he has a startup. It's a multi-million dollar platform in tech. And he was an old client of mine. And he said, how do I shut off? And I said, well, why do you need to? And he said, I don't know. I just feel like everybody says that I'm on holiday. I need to shut off. And I said, okay, well, you're an entrepreneur. You created this program. Why do you need to shut off completely? Why don't you just be mindful of the time that you invest there and be present with your wife for the majority of the time and feed the attention 1 hour at a time? There's 24 hours in a day. And he goes, no one has ever reframed that for me in that way. I've always felt so guilty by jumping on Slack, you know, the communication channel. And I'm like, yeah. And I think we tend to do that when it's not really a workaholic. It's interesting, the humans, we say, don't be a workaholic. And then or rather find something that you love to do. But then if you do it too much, you're a workaholic. So it's really like a real addiction. And then they're like, 9 out of 10 people hate their job. And I'm like, well, I actually like my job and I want to do it. And so it's got this real stigma around it. When in reality, I'm like, if it brings you joy, effing do it, triple it up. You know, that's why I roller skate, work, all the things, you know, anything that feeds your soul.
Well, I think one of the things that happens with musicians, though, I think that becomes kind of an issue where I've met, and I've been in it, where I'll go play a show in New York. You get off the stage at 1 a.m. and you're so keyed up, you can't sleep all night.
Yeah, sure.
And then the next day you might have a show at 8. And then you got to drive or on the bus or get on the plane and go there. And that's how musicians get into bad behaviors.
Yeah.
Because we get so keyed up, and then you have to find a way to take yourself down. And then you get on a schedule where you need time to rest, but you can't because you're so keyed up from the last day's show. And then you have another show, and then you put yourself on a treadmill that's not very positive. It's something you love to do, but the way you're doing it can cause a negative action.
Sure. So you're saying supplementing, you know, I can really resonate with that. Simply, I was a bartender for so many years. You finish the shift at 3, you're drinking with the band, you know? So I worked in New York for a long time, as well as Australia and Indonesia in the restaurant industry. So there's lots of truth to what you're saying. It's about, you know, I mean, I just believe energy work not fixes everything, but it's certainly the thing that's helped for me and all my hundreds of clients, because it stops making you feel as if you need to look outside yourself for anything. You have the energy, and you have the energy to shut off because you know how to move and, you know, for lack of a better word, sort of manipulate or play with energetics. And so we start filling in the hole inside of ourselves with lower vibrational choices. They're lower, right? So a high vibrational choice may be to go to the gym. A lower vibrational choice may be to grab a bottle of whiskey. If you have an emotional attachment to drinking the whole bottle and then feeling bad the next day, if you don't have an emotional attachment behind it or charge, an emotional charge behind having a drink, it doesn't matter because the emotion is what causes the behavior. So like we fall into these emotional driven patterns, and they all come from our limits and our limiting beliefs. So every musician should get energy work. Shadow work. Yeah.
Well, part of what I do is I'm a Buddhist, right? So we chant, like I use a Nichiren Daishonin Buddhism. And it's really because the idea in Buddhism is like energy, kind of universal thinking, and actually taking the time to meditate and when you do those chanting kind of practices as a Buddhist, you can get yourself into a zone where you slow your heartbeat, you slow your breathing, you get more into not taking that drink, not doing that, taking that pill or whatever. You find a way to focus your energy, kind of like Tai Chi or any of the Eastern type of practices. It gets you more centered. And as I got older, I found that doing that, I could actually control myself way better by doing that type of behavior, and also doing things like I hike and I mountain bike and yes, I do exercise. I found ways to get energy by mountain biking and by cycling and doing those type of things. And I found that you can get, you know, into patterns that seem, you know, oh, you're addicted to biking, but you know, it's actually a healthy thing. It's like if that's I'm a piano player and I practice 5 hours a day, that's because it's like, that's my purpose. That's a negative. It creates art. You know, cycling for 3-4 hours is like, well, because I want to get into that zone, and I naturally get tired and go to sleep. You know, it's just a better way of doing things.
For me. 100%. Yeah. You know, I can really resonate with that. I use a lot of outlets in my life where, you know, I go to the gym, I lift weights, or I go to dance, or I roller skate, and every day I go to the woods. It's always so funny because I walk barefoot and I live in New England, and people are always like, get your shoes on. But I've lived in Australia for 12 years, and I'm like, I'm sort of not like I'm grounding here. I'm a little bit of an energy mermaid. And so I want to just touch on what you said a little. So all of those things are amazing. But sometimes we have a behavioral pattern that we can't see very clearly. We want to fix it. And it will get fixed usually over time by doing something external or in a relationship. You'll start to see your things. But with the work of moving the actual energy in the energy field, with having a professional move into the energy field, it's going to move the energy a little faster. And you get what I like to call the aha moment. It's an up level of consciousness, the aha, like, oh, shoot, that was me. Oh, my God. And that comes faster. So you're able to actually manifest and move through things much quicker. So if an example would be like, if you came to me and you're like, oh, okay, so Asha, I can't stop, I don't know, whatever, gaming. I'm gaming 6 hours a day. I wish I could stop. we'd go back into some of your core wounds and shadow, and then I go into the energy field and we start releasing any attachments you have to that bad behavior. The bad behavior may be you felt unsafe when you were five. And in that moment of unsafety, you now seek solace in something that has a comforting noise or something from the television or something like this. And so this is the work. And it's really cool because you get to see people who have gone 20, 30 years not doing anything. One of my clients right now, he's in his 60s and he used to be a swimmer and he gained a lot of weight. And he literally after one session signed up for swim class. And like, it just brings tears to my eyes because that's all it's, there's nothing that lights me up more than people actually following their soul purpose and like getting the energy to like make good decisions and help people and kick ass at life, you know? And like, there's so much art out there and it's like amazing. I'm like, I don't care if you want to open up 500, you know, sex toy shops or if you want to like save the planet, doesn't matter. Just do your own thing, you know? And be a good person.
Yeah, I mean, but when I was younger, people were like, well, art, like you should go into insurance and you should go into software. So I did that to have stability, but I never let go of my art. And people like, I used to be in bands and people would disappear because people would say, well, what's the point in doing that? Like, they don't see a lot of value in music. Like, people want to shut the music program down. They want to shut the artist down and say, oh, you know, go and do something more productive. And I was always a believer that my daughter's an artist and that's her career. I didn't say go be an engineer or do whatever. She's an artist and that's what she does. My wife is a playwright. So we have a very artistic kind of house. So we value art. And in my opinion, like I got into electronic art because I feel like the ghost in the machine. I work with synthesizers. So the inside of my synthesizer, I say all the time, that my synthesizers are like the members of my band. That I actually feel the electricity inside of them and I kind of let them talk to me and I don't try to tame what they give me. I work with a lot of older type of instruments and I let them kind of guide me where I'm going to go. And I create my stream of consciousness music that's kind of, you know, it's basically jam band, improvisational, kind of fusion based. That's the kind of work I do. And a lot of people today want to be so perfect. And I'm a big believer in happy accidents and letting the muse tell me what I should do. And every time I write stuff down, I just let the recorder go. And I was like, I love guys like Frank Zappa and Hendrix. They would just let people, if you ever read about them, they had that kind of belief. It was the people, they're hippies. But no, they had this idea. It was a cosmic thing. It was like the muse. The universe has given them this, and you have, as a musician, you're tapped into that. And when you're a creator, you can feel it, and it'll run through you, and it just happens. And you don't really have to think about it. And that's why I felt very happy in my life when I realized that I could do it, and I wasn't going to let anybody like stop me. And I just, that's what I do.
Now look at your daughter and your wife. Like, you attract that into your life in the physical form because of the way that you carry your own energetics. Like, our frequency matches who we get to be with. That's why I'm all about the inward work. You get aligned with the right thing and it brings more love and more abundance into your life if you keep going. You're so inspiring. That's awesome. I love what you said.
That's what the whole point of the podcast was. I was able to, during this whole pandemic, like double down. And people said, well, if you're a musician, why are you taking away from your time as a writer to talk to people? I said, because talking to people inspires me. If I talk to all different types of people all over the world, as a writer, as a musician, every time I meet somebody, I get a different insight and that actually triggers me to come up with different ideas for my creativity. And the more people I meet, the more ideas I get. And the more ideas get into my songs, it's a source and it's a good source. So it's actually take the time to actually talk to other people besides just working on my narrow thing. It opens up my work, gives me relationships, it gives me connections that I never had, you know?
Oh my God, I love this. Yes, so good. So, you know, I wanted to just touch on what you shared in regards to the muse. So I have a son and I'm single. I had my divorce really sort of launched me into this work because the book, The Empath as the Narcissist, is designed to help people who are in trauma bonds. So they're in bonds with people where they fight a lot, or there's no intimacy, or they're not putting growth first. And when we don't put growth first in anything, it starts to whittle away. And so my desire is to stop that, because it creates a lot of ruptured families, and the kids are the ones that suffer in that regard. And so with my son, it's just me and him, and he's such a legend. He's so emotionally intelligent. He's so stoic as a result, because he is able to handle his energy and emotion. And he has such a high level of consciousness. Pretty much everybody who meets him is like, oh my God, he's like 45, he's 12. And so, but we, in my house, I've run a program for women called Raising Kings. I'm just about to do one again in November. And in the program, it's about raising strong men. And the real thing that's been missing is that there's always been like a God aspect, or like a king, or the divine, or whatever. You know, some people don't believe in any of that. It's totally cool. But there's not just the masculine. There's the feminine, which you're describing as the muse, this universal muse. And it's so beautiful, because in my house, we refer to it as the mother in the sky. So I'll say like, oh, you're going to experience heartbreak. But just remember that that girl's coming to show you what's missing inside yourself. And she's being put in front of you by the mother in the sky. And then I'll say, oh, don't forget about like the muse in the sky. So she's telling you to do your, he wants to be a comedian and create with me. We're about to start our own sort of like little thing on YouTube, and he's doing my YouTube videos, and I'm like, stay on that path. Like whatever you want will come to you on that path of alignment. And so we use the muse as one term. And because he's a child, we use the term mother. But even men can use mother. And it's like a really cool way of going up above what has been given to you on earth, because a lot of people can't find forgiveness from like ex-partners or their mother or their father or, you know, a man that really hurt them, or, you know, the supposed narcissist. But when we go up to those higher dimensions, that's where the true healing starts happening. That's like the masculine feminine aspect. It's really cool. So that universal muse, as you described it, it's awesome. Creation's amazing. So really cool.
Yeah. Well, I find I'm part Blackfoot and Cherokee, and there's a whole idea of spirit animals and just, you know, going into nature. When I go to mountain bike, I love being in the woods, and the Native American part of me, I'm able to like commune with, like animals will come up to me really close. A deer will come up to me where I can actually touch them. And I can actually, you know, get the beavers and foxes and all kinds of animals in New Hampshire. And I'm with other mountain bikers, all, here we go again, all these animals coming up to me, like, what's this? And it's like, some of my friends, they just want to keep on working out. Their idea is like, I want to go 2 hours straight without stopping. And then if an animal stops, it's like, hey, this animal stopped for a reason. Cause that's like a Native American idea. If it stopped in front of me and it wants to commune with me, I'm going to stop because there's a reason for that, right? Mm-hmm. That the universe is like telling me I should actually stop and actually pay attention to that. And some people will miss that because they're not in tune with it. I get it. But like, I've gotten more in tune with that type of thing.
I love that. Yeah, so this is so cool. So I love your sort of indigenous native background. I think it's so beautiful. I'm really drawn to that lineage. I have been 2 years now studying the path of the Munaiki, which is the Peruvian shamans. So I've done a year long program with an elder, and then I have been practicing, and I teach a couple types of energy modalities, because the cool thing about shamans, which would be really like right up your alley, you're a shaman. No wonder you asked me to be on the show. You love it. You see it. You get it. And so, but the shaman has been around for over 500,000 years, and they are the believer that we're here to heal ourselves. We can. We are infinite beings. And they don't let trauma stay in the body. So when something happens in an indigenous community, most of the time, no matter if you're in Russia or if you're in China or if you're in South America or if you're in the United States, they instantly clear the trauma. And when they instantly clear the trauma, people tend to just live this really full life of abundance without actually needing much external stuff at all. Now, this is very much a threat to the Western culture, hence why there's been so much attack on Native Americans as well as African Americans. I find in my work and just my general presence, most people who are Black or Native American, they instantly are like, oh, wow, you have such a bright light, because they're so connected. And I think that's one of the reasons why they're stifled so much, is because they don't want us having that much power, which is all inside of ourselves. We could heal ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, an example is like when I was 27, I had a level 3 sarcoma, and I survived it. I'm 55. And it really, what it made me do is I really think about, do I really need to have ceilings on myself? Like, do I had like fears and I had doubts and I hadn't done the things I wanted. I had suppressed my art self to go into, you know, IT. And I, you know, and I, and when after I did, after the cancer happened, I started going to Northampton Fire and Water Cafe, started reading poetry, met my wife from Mount Holyoke, got married, had our daughter, because then I was like, I wanted to actually find someone, because I said, yeah, I'm not finding anybody. After the cancer, I said, I'm really going to take it serious. I'm actually going to tell the truth. I'm going to be who I am. And I started reading my poetry, going doing music, doing like DJing on a radio station. And eventually my wife and I, we got to Japan. We spent 2 years in Japan because we weren't fearful. From 2004 to 2006, people were telling us after 9/11, oh, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. We didn't care. It's like, I'm a cancer survivor. I got an opportunity to go to Japan. My daughter had an opportunity to go to a Japanese school. And we took it because we stopped being fearful about or caring what people said. Oh, you shouldn't do that. You're going to have a hard time in Japan. In Japan, we thought it was the best time we ever had in our lives.
Japan is literally the best country. I love Japan. It's so good. We spent like 6 weeks there. Go on. I want to hear more.
Well, I lived in Moto Azabu, downtown Japan, near Roppongi. My daughter went to Nishimachi for 2 years. She learned like, you know, hiragana, katakana, kanjis. I mean, I had to speak Japanese in my job. And it was just so fantastic, because I would just go to Akihabara, I go to Shibuya, I go to Ginza, and I just would soak it in that there. I was doing IT, but I did love the fact that it was this Tai Chi and there's all this Shintoism and all these other things. And my daughter learned Taiko. So we really got really deep into it because she got a sensei and she learned Taiko. And I'm a musician and I got really into that. The fact that we were willing to like try all the Japanese dishes. We actually were invited to a Japanese home and got a Japanese meal because we got that in tune. We weren't just hanging at the American Club and only wanting to go into McDonald's. You know, we were totally embracing the Japanese culture while we were there because we felt that, well, if we're there, that's what we should do.
So awesome. Yeah, such a cool country. Like, there's every twist and turn, there's something to look at. Like, I love Japan because they're not afraid to like build up either. So you can, you know what I'm talking about. You go into like the 10th floor of some random building, you walk in into this bar and there's like legit 300 people in there. And you're like, how do they even know this place is here?
Yeah, there's all kinds of strange places like you would find.
Yeah, like the level of art in like just pop culture. So I have this is so awesome chatting to you. I've been all over Asia, like because I lived in Australia for so long and I have like a real draw to the Asian culture. Like
Eastern, I love Eastern mysticism. Yeah. I love, before I went, I used to get Japanese, like I was in the manga, I was in the anime. I was into Japanese devices. As an IT guy, I would buy Japanese versions of Sega game systems and PlayStations, and I have the Japanese version and actually play the Japanese game in Japanese language before I ever went there, because it's like, oh, this Japanese version is different than what the US version was. And I was a Buddhist that was following Nichiren Daishonin, which is a Japanese form of Buddhism. So I was already drawn to it. So when my company said, oh, well, you could go, I was like, yeah, I'm going, because
Yes, that's epic. Good for
I
you.
was already into it, you know.
So cool. Good for you. Yeah, like there's so much. It's such an awesome country. Like I love Japan, Thailand. I've been to Malaysia. We lived in Indonesia. I've been all over Southeast Asia. I just think it's such a beautiful place. And same with China. So the discipline I practice is Qigong. So it's just a really slow martial art, which is really good for me because I'm very action oriented by nature, which is a great thing. But now that I'm really incorporating these slower, more poignant and grounded disciplines that are like just ripe in ancient culture, you can feel like the lineage in these practices. It's so cool. And the precision.
Yeah, the history of it. Yeah, the history of it is so deep. And then if you read, like when we got into Nichiren Daishonin and we read about the whole history of what happened with him as a Buddhist monk, and just the whole idea of understanding the culture, going back into different periods within Japan and reading the history, and then going to where they are today, and just understanding another culture. And not thinking that the only culture is like that's the most supreme is your own, right? I always, being African American, I wanted to know about West Africa and East Africa. Found out I was actually from East Africa when we did a lineage. And so, yeah, going back and trying to find like the original tribes that we were part of. You know, my uncles actually went and did a lot of work. And then knowing our Cherokee and Blackfoot parts is like there's a whole different level of information, and not just being like an all-American type of person. It's like, okay, I have a lineage that goes back to East Africa, a lineage that goes to the Cherokee and Blackfoot tribes. So and you can start to look into things that might not exactly be all Western, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. You know, I just feel like we're brother and sister. I'm dead serious. We have so many things in common. It's really cool. Like definitely like there's some like soul resonance here because yeah, like I'd be lying if I said I didn't feel the same way. I've like always been infatuated with just like culture. Like I've always been just really into it. And it's so funny because we were going to go to Africa. My son has been to about 12 countries. I've been to about 20. And and he's only 12 and he's been to 12 countries. It's just amazing. We take him everywhere. Right. He like Exciting. People who give excuses for kids and travel. I'm just like, just book the tickets. Kids are awesome. And it gives him such a heightened perspective of life. And he can speak a little bit of Bahasa, a little bit of Japanese. And
well, the world's global. Spanish. I mean, the world is global. Being a global citizen is not a bad idea because the way things are going, it's a very good thing.
Yeah. And so we were going to go to Africa for about 8 weeks. And then I found out I was pregnant. And so we didn't end up going. And I was like, I still think about doing this African tour because, yeah, just something there that just draws me there. And it's interesting because my lineage is, but from in my family line is Italian and Irish. But I've just always had like these really deep indigenous calls to certain parts of the world. And you know what's cool is because it's coming out more and more as I do more energy work, as I do more consciousness
maybe
raising.
The energy
and
work the indigenous people are closer just, are closer
it
to
brings
the energy
you closer
work.
Together
yeah well, I think
I'll
the
tell
energy
you,
work
I'll tell you, I'm sorry I'll tell you something that's really cool. So back in the day, remember I was talking about shamans, so they would have no way of communicating with each other, but for some reason in different parts of the world, let's say it was like Russia and then South America, they were finding documents and in teachings that were pretty much verbatim, the exact type of learnings. And they had no way of seeing each other. And they have these similar tests with rats. And rats are actually the most emotionally intelligent and energetically intelligent animal, with the snake actually being another one. The snake is extraordinarily energetically sensitive. That's why there's a lot of warped inversions around the snake. You know, like it's considered like a bad thing in certain religions, when in reality the snake is actually super powerful. So
it's
that said,
animal.
Yeah, it's a serpent. It's the first direction in the medicine wheel from the shamanic practices of all of the indigenous practices, pretty much. So anyway, these rats, they do these tests on them and they connect with each other, even if they're far away, but
It's
they
almost like
also,
telepathic, like a telepathic type of thing.
yeah, telepathic, telepathy, which is happening here, as you know. And I know you know. And so that said, there's this study, and I saw a clip on this on, I don't remember the man's name. He was doing a TED talk on it. It was about this place called Rat Park. And they actually filled bottles up with cocaine, and there was nothing around, and there was just these rats, and there was a bottle of water with cocaine, and then a bottle of water that was plain. And when there was no one around, when there was no toys, the rats would go to the cocaine water. As soon as they put them with other rats and toys, they wouldn't even touch it. And oh man, I'm covered in shivers. And it goes to show that the reason is because connection to other people feeds your soul, and therefore you don't need something outside yourself to give you that hit
Oh,
of
you don't need a
stimulant because you're
substance,
getting
yeah,
it.
if you have
Yeah. Now,
connections, yeah.
the thing is, yeah, but then people are like, oh, cool, we'll build community. But that's not just it. It has to be connection to self, connection to your worth, connection to your truth, like you just described. You said, F it. I'm connected to my truth. I'm going to go travel. I don't care anymore. I'm going to be who I want to be. And that's when, like, the real magic starts to happen in your life, when you're actually able to say, yeah, well, fuck it. I'm going to go for it. And, like,
Yeah.
and that's what happens to humans. So it's not just an outward connection, because you actually see a lot of people in the music industry, in the coaching industry, in limelight, that have really awesome careers but really shitty home lives. And that's even energetics. That's the push. That's the narcissism. There.
Oh,
Okay.
you
You're making sure that
were,
everybody out there, everybody out there thinks everything's great, but inside you're not even having a relationship with your partner. So it's an interesting way that energy works. So you have to have the inward connection, and that gives the outward connection. It's really cool.
yeah, I think one of the things
Yeah.
I've found is like, as a songwriter,
Happening.
we look at the idea of the looking glass.
Are you there?
You go inward, that's what we do. Is we find a way to find a universal truth that might start within your soul that is actually understandable by your by everybody else. And being a creative person, when you're a songwriter, when you write something that's not just like a club banger, but you're trying to do something that actually is gonna resonate, something like Dylan like or
Love that.
something like Hendrixian or something you think about like reggae. You think about the great reggae artist, something that's gonna resonate that's like be bigger than the time you're in. So you're trying to do something deep and you're doing it because you believe in the art, not trying to make money. You do the song because you
Yes.
believe in the work. And that's the type of
Yes.
producer I try to get kids to like, don't just try to clone whatever's in the top 20. Tell me who you are. Show me like what your deepest thing is, and don't try to make it like something that's a hit like today. Go tell me who you are. I want to hear your real demo like I want to basically make the best you. I don't want to go and take you and like clone some other top 20 producer. I want to take you and find a way to
Yeah, I
find
love
your
that.
clone, put it out there. That's my technique.
Yeah, this is the thing. Like, yeah, and I think like we keep seeing more and more people, hopefully, as the consciousness rises, more and more people moving toward this universal truth, which is that it is all capable within yourself. Like, it takes work though. There's a lot of programming, there's a lot of deconditioning that needs to happen. When you tell a kid a story enough, they're gonna believe it. And there's a lot of stories going on right now. It also, during COVID, the entire globe felt fear. If you could see above it, you're maybe in a better place, but the whole globe fear, which means that children with formative brains are going to have traumas that we've never seen before when they're in their 20s and 30s, when they're trying to make decisions, when they're trying to figure out what to do with their life. So it's for me, what drives me every day to do my work is so that we can reach more and reach more,
Yeah,
reach children stay in their own self-awareness, self-awareness and alignment for their soul path. So, yeah.
Yeah, the healing that's going to be necessary because of the pandemic has done a lot of damage. And just like, I just worry about the disconnection between nature that kind of allowed, you know, this type of stuff to happen is like potentially can happen even more because of the global warming, you know, brings back, we can end up experiencing more pandemics, you know, and so that's just the logic of it. People need to understand that Gaia is important. The earth is important.
That's it. You've got to
treat where you live and not just try to get to the next place. Like you want to get to heaven or you want to get to Mars. You got to treat where you are with the respect that it deserves. Yeah, you know, it's like 100%. I talked to my, you know, to my relatives who are Native American. It's like you have to treat, you know, all the animals you meet, the earth, the water, the air. You have to treat it with respect. And I think there's some types of you know, mindsets, though all it's about is profit. And profit would allow you to pollute that river. And profit would allow to destroy the air and actually destroy an environment, an ecosystem. Because, oh, I did a good job because I made money. But like, what did you do to the rest of the world that now like species are going extinct? You know, you have to consider that profit isn't the only motive.
That's it. You know, and actually that's one of the main reasons why I drive so hard to get more money is because, and I want as many people with what you're talking about with money, because right now in the earth where we are, money equals power to some capacity and you need money to make big change. So I'd prefer to have hundreds and thousands of people who are in the light, philanthropists, ready to actually make change and build amazing things that are going to reverse the shit that's going on in this planet to them, as opposed to like five or six guys that have a ton of money. It's just insane. So that's part of my mission, is to get as much abundance in the hands of the right people. I don't fear money. I love money. I got an amazing relationship with money. And I want to desire to teach as many people to have that same relationship with money, because we've been programmed to believe that we shouldn't have money. And that money is the root of all evil. No, it's actually the person that has the money.
I think it's the type of people that have it. Like if you got people who are doing like balance of power games with their money.
That's right. Yeah. Right? Yeah. I absolutely love money. I don't need a lot of things. I could easily live in a cardboard box, but equally I could have $1 million so I could give away most of it to the human race, you know?
I mean, that has been in a way. Yeah, well, the money that allowed me to be in Japan, you know, was because I did a job that was an IT job that paid really well to be there. Mm-hmm. And I got to experience it that way, you know, on my own dime because of what, like I'm in IT. It's like, so if you do a really good job and you know what you're doing, you can travel. You can end up being in places you wouldn't think. You could be in Australia, you could be in Japan, you could be in the UK. And then you get to experience things and then you get to meet people. And my whole thing with art is like, you do the art because you love it, but it will find an audience when you're passionate. What I found is I do well because I'm passionate, and it wasn't because I was trying to make the money, but because I believed in what I was doing and it found the audience and it found the connection that I get to work with other people because they got into it, and it'll end up bringing you money. It's just like the money will come to me. It's like my Buddhist type of thing is if I do the positive thing, it will come. So it's not that I'm not trying to get it, but that's like not my only reason for doing what I do.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
And I won't throw it away if they give it to me.
That's right. It's a nice balance, and it's appreciation for money as an energy. That's all it is. So if you're sitting there saying, I don't need money, or we don't need a lot, you're literally telling the universe to not bring you money. So it's a masculine energy. So what you just described is you having an idea, feminine, coming in, you drop into the idea, you then take the action, masculine, and then you receive, feminine, money, masculine. So it's a really cool dynamic of energetics. And when you actually figure that out and say, cool, I don't need to worry about money because it's just an energy, there's no emotion behind it. You don't have to feel bad if you don't have it. You don't have to feel extra happy if you have a shitload. You just kind of do your thing, and it takes the emotion out of it, and it starts to allow you to trust that it's all working out perfectly, which it really always is. And you know,
Well,
you
you
know,
didn't,
living
yeah.
living in Bali in the Balinese Hinduism has really brought me that deeper awareness around this, because they have such a passionate feminine and masculine balance on the island. You can feel that energy of just calmness, which you can really feel in a lot of places in Japan as well. And that discipline and that sort of like really soft, creational, artistic flow. And it just gives you that like trust in the universe. And yeah, it's just really amazing. And you can live in a box or you can live in, you know, a really awesome house. Doesn't matter.
But the whole thing with me is, I think that being in touch with that feminine and the male, you know, receiver and giver thing, as a musician, as a creative, that's how we, you know, I do receive from the mother, you know, from the universe, from the muse. I can feel her energy. I can feel it coming in. And then I got in touch with like that Josephine part of me that I named her, and it really significantly changed my music. Like when I didn't introduce, before I introduced Josephine, I had maybe 2,000 people following me. As soon as I introduced Josephine, it jumped to like 70,000.
And it was
just a big thing. So that was inside of me. And then I wasn't scared to put it out. And then I got that much back. And then I got to be like here
trust.
Doing this stuff, because I said, you know, I'm going to trust my inner muse. I'm going to trust getting these messages and learning how to push them out. And it's just given me so many different opportunities to collaborate. I mean, I'm collaborating with a Japanese artist. I'm working with a South African video game developer. I'm working with an experimental R&B producer, all because I had the guts to kind of put out something that people said, oh, you know, I talked to my family and, oh, you know, you shouldn't do that. People will look at that and think it's weird. I said, well, that means that's probably a good idea.
That's perfect. Exactly. You know, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I got to run because my son's he's going to be home in about 2 seconds.
Well, that's fine. You are
awesome. I can talk to you all night. You're so fun. I'm looking forward to
it. We hit the 9 o'clock. So I'll put this out. If you send me your email, I can send a WeTransfer file. So if you can just send through the private chat to send an email real quick. And and then I do a WeTransfer of the MP3 and MP4. And you can cut it up however you want. I don't cut it up, but you get the whole thing and you can divide it up whatever program you want.
Oh, I appreciate that so much. I had such a blast getting to know you.
Thank you very much. This will be fully published tomorrow. And I will send out all the links through Podmatch. So, I'll talk to you later.
Awesome.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Gosh. Can I ask you your first name?
Oh, my first name is Keith. My real name is Keith.
Keith.
You go to
Family
Electric Ghost. You go to familyelectricghost.com. You can see my whole bio. But my first name is Keith.
Cool.
I just go by Phantom because I like to have, you know, my alter ego. But if you go to my website,
you can
learn more about me. Okay.
I love it. Okay, cool. All right, Phantom, so good to meet you.
Bye.
Bye, darling. Thank you so much for having
me.
Bye. Bye.
Have a good night. This is Family Electric Ghost, and we did have a great show tonight. I just want to remind people to listen on Newsly. Newsly, you can go and stop scrolling and start listening. Use coupon code GHOST to get 1 month free premium subscription. Again, use coupon code GHOST and we receive 1 month premium subscription. This podcast is on Newsly. We will be on Spotify later tomorrow or maybe later tonight. We're also on iPod podcast, and we do encourage people to check it out. And if you're into podcasting and you want to get a podcast guest, the best tool for podcasting is to use Podmatch. So if you use Podmatch and you use the sign-up code, Podmatch allows you to hang guests on your podcast and also find you guests that aren't even paying but maybe are very interesting to talk to. So it has an algorithm. It finds out what your podcast is about and matches you with guests. So if you use that sign-up code, FamElectricGhost, at Podmatch.com/signup, FamElectricGhost, you can get paying guests to go on your podcast, pay commission directly to PayPal once every 31 days. and it's a pretty cool thing to do. So check that out. If you like, if you're trying to get podcasts for your guests and you don't know how to do it, it's a really cool tool. It only costs $6 a month. First 2 months, I made $152. Not a big amount, but only spent $12 to make $152. And we were getting from 4 guests to 12 guests a month. So our natural booking process through Instagram was 4 guests a month. Now we're at the 12 guests a month using podmatch.com. So check that out. We'll talk to you later. Please support all the people we talk to, and have a good night.